The Lord, amen and amen. God has been so good. He's been so very, very good. I was 27 years old working for Tampa Electric when God called me to go to the Holy Church of God. Quit my job. Take it as it comes. Just launch out by faith. I had a real problem with asserting my spiritual headship over my wife and making her do that, because I didn't need a reluctant partner to take this step, because we were going to have to depend on God for food to eat, money to pay the light bill, amen, just everything. I mean, we were going to have to launch out and depend on God. We didn't, you know, I had a career with Tampa Electric. If I'd stayed with Tampa Electric, I just like to reminisce sometimes, I would have had 44 years with Tico. You know what 44 years with Tico means? It means a gravy job. Does anybody know what a gravy job means? You know, I would have found me some gravy after 44 years. I wouldn't be out there on no pole or no line crew. I would have been in some sweet job. Amen. Some clean job. Something that's out of the weather. Amen. And out of the sun and out of the lightning. I developed my prayer life at Tampa Electric Company, working call outs in thunderstorms. That would develop your prayer life. God has been good to me. God had something for me to do. And I just reminisce on the deliverances He's given me. I remember the morning that one man and myself went out to put up a wire that a car had hit a pole, and we went out. It was live, but it was slacked down because the pole was bent over, and I got me a jack to pull that guy wire and pull that pole back up, and it was cold. It was ice cold. It was one of those cold winter mornings, and I remember working, pulling that pole back up straight, and I put the guy wire. The guy came down in the bucket. I gave him a new wire to hang because that one was damaged, and I was going to fix it up there. And he went up to do that. And when he went up to do that, I just some reason I just went, and I still don't know what I went after. Isn't that incredible? I can't figure out what I went after. But I walked around. At the moment he was going up, I was holding that guy wire, and I went up to get something out of one of the bins of the truck. There was a huge flash. There was a great roar. And what had happened, the hydraulics on that truck had not warmed up yet. That bucket was hydraulically operated. He had moved to go forward. It had went into 7,620-volt line. It had run down the wire that I was holding only, not minutes before, seconds before. There was a ditch by the road and with weeds grown up, and he thought it had electrocuted me, knocked me into the ditch. The ground was... the actual earth was crystallized in place. Little balls of crystallized dirt from 7,620 volts, making a perfect ground on a damp, cold winter morning. And he came down white as a ghost, and I came around the side of the truck white as a ghost. Can you say, man, you think I'm a white man now? You should have seen me then. Amen. I was a real white man. Praise. I come that close. But God was faithful. Amen. God had me do that. There's no way. I didn't have a premonition. Oh, Lord, I have it in the vision. Something bad is about to happen. I must back off. No, I didn't have nothing in no vision. But God had a hold of me. God did something. I don't know why I moved. God moved me. He put it in me to move without a great vision with Dolby Stereo and 3D. Can you say, man, God just did it. It's amazing. I believe the angel of the Lord was there. I just feel those things. Praise God. I remember pulling out in my line truck and God being with me with Tampa Electric. An elderly couple pulled out without looking back. I hit the brakes, cut my wheel to keep from that truck weighs. It's just so heavy and it's loaded down with equipment. And if I'd hit their little compact car, I would have went right up on top of it and crushed them to death. Instead, I cut the wheels and rolled it. It rolled over with me in it, and a crowd gathered, and I was down in there seeing if I was still alive or what was hurt or what was broken, and laying down big old tank, 40 gallons of gas, right there, a step tank that we ran the equipment with, under built in, right. I mean, and the steam was coming up, and everybody's. I was in front of two gas pumps, right in front of two gas pumps, and they thought if that truck catches on fire, that tank explodes, this thing goes up. So they were all watching. and backing up, I guess, because nobody was coming to that truck, and I was laying down. It was on my side. It was flipped. And finally, after some guy got brave enough and courage, he came over and opened the door, grabbed me by the hand, and lifted me out of that truck. And we stood there, and he looked at me, and he looked at the truck, and I had not a bruise hardly on me, nothing at all. God was with me. Amen. God delivered me. And he said right there by the road where the crowd could hear, "You are a very lucky man." And when he said lucky, the Holy Ghost rose up on the inside of me. And I said, "Sir, I want you to know that luck had nothing to do with this today. Jesus delivered me from this thing." Praise God. Amen. I knew who got me through that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That truck had to go in for some major repairs, $5,000 worth of damage to it, but it no damage to me. And not only no damage to me physically, but not even financially or jeopardizing my job, because this is an accident report. Why'd you flip the truck over? Because this guy pulled out in front of me. What guy? We don't see no guy. Well, an off-duty policeman saw the guy. Followed him down the road and held him until a cop could come and issue him a ticket. And when I got to court, I found out that he had many violations of failing to yield the right of way. They cleared me. Not only did they clear me, they gave me kind of a commendation, because Tampa Electric really don't want me to run over anybody, no matter whose fault it is. Amen. And so God just turned everything around. He turned what the enemy meant for evil. So many times God turned that around, and God used it for good. And he's a good and gracious and faithful God. And I love and appreciate him for the times he has delivered me up out of the hand of the enemy. Praise God. Amen. I've been in lightning storms and where a man just about four from me to you got scorched on his back because he was leaning against a metal pole under a covering. I'm out working in it near that covering, and it hit that building, and it come down and scorched his back and burnt his shirt. And he's very fortunate he didn't do worse damage. But I remember praying many times on that line crew. And I remember a lineman up there in a blinding rain with lightning flashing and saying, when he came down, "Rev," he said, "that pole went in." So, and I wasn't a real perfect operator, but I prayed a lot. He said, "that pole went in just like it had eyes." And he said, you were praying, wasn't you?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I sure was, because it was such a critical situation we were in. And I prayed about everything." Amen. Then I got off the line crew. I'm just reminiscing today. The Lord just wants me to brag on him today. Tell you where I'm coming from and where he's brought me from and what God has done down through the years. Amen. I went from a line crew to an underground URD. When they were building Walden Lakes, I was part of the group running the underground utilities for that. It was a new technology then, underground residential distribution. And we pulled in this big, long line, and it was going through underground things, and it had tension on it, and I was the one pulling that, and they're rolling it off a reel, my foreman and apprentice, and I'm the equipment officer. I'm pulling that, and I'm, you know, it's been a great day. Everything's been good till now, and that old truck is shaking. That old winch is jittering, and I'm saying, "Oh, Lord, this thing don't want to come." And they're saying, I'm on a walkie-talkie. And the guy way down, I could barely see him. We got so many feet of wire underground that's this big around to feed. It's a big main feed. It's expensive stuff. And oh man, he said when you see my hat come down, you stop, because we only had just enough wire to make the run. Amen. We didn't have nothing to play with. And it was coming so hard. And it looked like it wasn't going to come. And all of a sudden, something popped on my truck. And I thought it was that big winch. I thought something bad happened. Something went bang like that. And I looked to see what it was. And it kept on going. And I looked back. And and the hat was going like that. And I thought, "Oh, dear Lord." And what had happened was it had pulled beyond the length to make it up. And oh my goodness, I prayed, because my foreman on the other end, he was I couldn't actually see the smoke, but I'm sure it was there, coming out of his ears. Amen. And I knew the only thing left to do would be pull that thing out. And it went in so hard it would damage it, pulling it back out. And I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you pray desperate prayers. This is called fervent praying. Can you say, man, the effectual fervor? I got real fervent shot in the name of Jesus. They said, why'd you do it? I told him what happened. It didn't matter what happened. There's not enough wire left to make up that big bank that we had to deal with. And it's such a hard pull. You can't pull anything back. He said, we're going to try to pull this back. Now, listen, I couldn't pull it through with a winch hardly. Thought my truck was going to just belch and quit or something break. They're going to pull it back by hand, said, we're going to try. And I thought, oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I saw them down there giving yanks like that. And I thought, they're going to pull back what I pulled down when it I don't think so. Amen. And all of a sudden, it crackled on the walkie-talkie and said, we got just enough. They pull back just, I don't mean a foot or a half a foot, just enough to make up that bank to feed that community. And I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. But that's not the glory of it. The glory of it was when they came back down there, they said, you prayed, didn't you? I said, yes, I did. They said, well, 6 foot of wire. We could barely get a hold of it. And 6 foot came back, just what we needed to make up that bank perfectly. Not an inch more, not an inch less. And they said, you prayed, didn't you? Amen. I said, you better believe I prayed. I really prayed. Amen. And then it was well known. People said, we'd like to have him on our crew because he prays. And things happen. So when the National Day of Prayer came and the president at that time asked that everyone in America recognize a National Day of Prayer. Amen. We're in a restaurant getting ready to have our coffee and then go out to Highway 60 and do a job. I'll never forget that day because my foreman was not a what you would say church going guy. But he knew the nation's in trouble and he knew that we needed help. And he was a big bear of a guy. And he came over and he said, Robert, here we go. He's a tough egg. He said, Robert, he said, today's a National Day of Prayer. Of course, when you got a big chew of tobacco and a dip of snuff, it's hard to understand. Amen. I mean, he chewed tobacco in this side and snuff underneath here. And he said, Robert, National Day of Prayer. Nation has real problems. We're going out by Highway 60 to meet another crew. I believe we ought to pray. Now, this is a guy that's not a churchy guy. I believe we need to pray. When we get out there, would you lead us in prayer? Wow. Lord, look at this. Look at this. You get a reputation for talking with God, walking with God, and God coming through. People believe in God greater because they believe he is and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. We got out on a busy morning beside Highway 60, right out in the wide open. And here's this guy coming and saying, we met this other crew. He said, everybody, get ready. And they thought we were going to get the tailboard of how to work together to get the job done. Instead, he said, National Day of Prayer. You know all the problems we have here in America. I've asked Robert here to lead us in prayer. You don't have to pray if you don't want to. If you don't want to, go on. Nobody moved. Nobody moved. They all took off their hats, bowed their heads. You've got to understand, this ain't no church group. This is no prayer group. This is no Bible study group. These are some guys that were hard-living guys and hard-working guys. And here we're standing beside Highway 60, and we're praying for God to bless this nation again, God to intervene and God to intercede. Cars going up and down, and there's a bunch of guys standing out here with their hard hats off, heads bowed on the National Day of Prayer, right out in the sunshine in the public, praying and interceding for this nation. Amen. That kind of respect don't come because you present yourself as some big something or another. That comes because you pray and get answers, and people recognize that the hand of the Lord, that when you go out on a line crew with Rev, God's blessing goes with you. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're going out with him, the blessing of the Lord is going to be on you that day. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a mighty God that we serve. What a witness and testimony when he just simply answers your prayers. Hallelujah. And moves on other people. Glory be to God. There happened to be a Vietnam veteran fresh back from the war before it ended. There was a Vietnam veteran standing on that, and his job was to take the bodies, the body bags, and load them on transports to be processed and then sent back home. And so all day long he is loading dead bodies of young men in Vietnam. He saw such death and destruction. He lost his faith in God. In Vietnam, how can a loving God let this happen? And he was hardened. He was battle hardened because he saw combat. He was hardened because he dealt with death on a daily basis, and he saw so many inhumanities to man, and he lost his faith and became hardened. But God moved as we prayed beside Highway 60. And we talked to a God who is and who cares. Amen. And he came to me after we prayed, and he said, Bob, he said, I want you to know something. He said, I haven't been to church since I came back from Vietnam. But he said, I want you to know that I'm going to be in church Sunday. He said, I could feel something that I haven't felt in years out here beside the road. Can you say, man, what was the something that they felt out beside the road? You can't make that happen because the choir hits a high C and someone hits a sharp or a minor on an organ or an instrument. You can only have that if God manifests his presence. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. And I want you to know that I didn't start doing these things when I became a preacher in the sense of pastoring full time. This has been my walk with God. This today is my life. This is not just something I do professionally. This is something I do personally. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Walking with God is like nothing in all of the world. Talking with God is not nothing in all of the world. Hallelujah. The Lord is real. Church can become routine and redundant because it's routine, ritualistic. We talk about a God who seems to be so distant. He's not. He's up close. He wants to be personal and intimate. Hallelujah. God is a gracious God, and his miracles, his provisions, his deliverances, his protection. God has just down through the years showed us over and over again his majesty and his wonder. I remember we were on radio on WSOL, half a day Spanish, half a day gospel programming. I used to go and make those broadcasts live, and then I finally got a big old reel-to-reel recorder and made a reel and took the reel into them. And when I couldn't be there, I sent the reel in, but a lot of times I got up in the morning and I went down to the station and made the broadcast live. And I remember we were buying that radio time. And I just had a real thing about bothering people all the time for the money while talking about how big God is. Amen. I have to talk about it when it's necessary, but I don't like to talk about it. You can better believe after 38 years of pastoring, you've never heard me mention it very much. Can you say, I mean, you bring a friend to church, you're not going to hear about what we need. You're going to hear about what they need, and that's Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to lift up Jesus, and God is going to continue to make a way where there seems to be no way. Brother Hodges received the offering for us, and he had been a clerk and a treasurer for churches down through the years, a very trusted man, a man of integrity. And he told me personally, he said, I have never seen God provide, amen, like he's providing for this ministry in my whole life. I said, that's because God is in it. God's hand is on it. Praise God. God has ordained that we do what we're doing. We didn't come here to get rich. We didn't come here to make a name for ourselves. We didn't come here to have a professional career as ministers. We didn't come here to market ourselves, amen, and try to get bigger churches. We came here to lift up and magnify and glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We sacrificed to do it. But we didn't give up anything comparatively in what the Lord has done. Amen. We're going on 49 years of marriage. God has kept our family together. I was in a pastor's meeting the other day with about 60 or 70 pastors. And one thing one of the ministers said was, yes, there's pressure living in a fishbowl. Everybody's looking at you. He said, well, live the life and embrace the fishbowl. So looking at it different, instead of the pressure of always being up for criticism, live the life. Amen. Follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? There's no better life in all of the world. And don't do it half-heartedly. Do it wholeheartedly. Praise God. And God will bless you coming in, and God will bless you going out. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Venable, how much have you acquired? Not a lot down here. If I lost everything, I wouldn't weep a lot. Amen. Because I don't have a lot to lose. But I got so much to gain. Praise God. We're traveling light because we're pilgrims and strangers. Oh, our roots aren't down in this earth. Amen. You're a heartbeat away from eternity. I'm a heartbeat away from eternity. We didn't bring nothing in. We can't take nothing out. Back when I used to go to the gym, there was a guy, he needed to go to the gym. He's a big guy, and you could tell it wasn't good big. It was, you know, he's big. He could play for the Bucks if he was 50 years younger. Anyway, how much would that make? No, we won't even go there. But he had on this T-shirt. I've told you before, I thought it was a neat T-shirt. He said, I came into this world fat and bald-headed. And I'm going out the same way. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We brought nothing in. We can't take anything out. But every soul that has come to Christ, every person who has been encouraged and not turned back because someone said, follow me as I follow Jesus. And we just keep on following Jesus. If you look in the fishbowl at me, you're not going to see perfection. But you are going to see sincerity. We love the Lord. We make no bones about it. Praise God. We're radical in our faith. Hallelujah. Serving Jesus is the only thing that makes life worthwhile. Especially now that I am in my mid-60s today, as of this week. I am so glad. Amen. For all, looking back on it, I'm so glad of all that we have sown of our life into the lives of other and into the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm glad I didn't waste it. I'm glad I didn't consume it on myself. I'm glad there was time for God. I'm glad there was money for God. I'm glad there was work for the Lord invested. Because one day, amen, Paul said, that crown isn't for me only, but everybody that loves his appearing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's a joy to serve the Lord. God's deliverance is so awesome. It's so mighty. And when he begins to come through, people notice. People notice. I worked for 12 years as a bivocational minister. And there are a lot of us out there like that. So I worked for 12 years. And by the way, Paul, who wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, in between, what did he do? He made tents. He worked with his hands. Did he do that? Yes, he did. And one of the reasons he was doing it, when it got to push come to shove, he wouldn't market the gospel. Come on, he wouldn't do that. He said, you know our conversation among you, our lifestyle and behavior, how we coveted no man's gold or apparel. Although that tie today, that's a beautiful tie. Amen. Hallelujah. No. I was just kidding. I kid with him, but he takes it serious. Now, see how easy he did that? I saw something. Oh, no. Oh, I did. When I drove up this morning and saw his truck, I saw that brand new, that big, pretty, perfect Dodge Ram sitting out there, and I said, Lord, have mercy, look at that truck. No, I do not want the payment. Thank you, brother. No. I know I could, but I like to kid with you. Praise God. Paul said, if you think we're in it for the silver and gold, you're wrong. For you were not redeemed. It all starts from your redemption. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold after the tradition of your fathers. In other words, you've always heard that if you're going to get something, you're going to have to pay for it, old hoss. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Can you say, man? But the gospel sounds too good to be true, but it is true. Freely you've received, freely give. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Paul said, you know our conversation among you. We didn't covet no man's gold or apparel, but we worked with our hands. Paul was a tent maker by trade. We worked with our hands. It's not that pastors are not worthy of their hire. And if this church grows, there would be so much to do. There would be enough funds for me to be full time again. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. Feed the ox so he can tread out the corn for you. Can you say amen? God holds pastors in high esteem. Amen. Paul said that they are due double honor. And not just reverence. We're talking about honorarium. We're talking about they're worthy of their hire. But he said when the gospel is in question and when we present the gospel, we want to make it clear we're not here to fleece the flock. We're here to feed the flock. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're here to give of ourselves that others may know Jesus, that Christians can rise up and be strong and courageous and be witnesses for Jesus, hallelujah, that your prayers can be answered and people can have confidence in your walk with God, and people that don't know him will want to know him because of what they see in you and what they see in me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wow. So we left the fragrance of him at Tampa Electric. The fragrance of him. Have you ever walked by somebody in a department store and they were wearing something that just, wow. I mean, it could be man or woman now. Men got some good smelly. Amen? Old spouse. And Le Fleur de Stinkum for the women. Can you say amen? Went in, what is it? It was Burdine's or one of those, you know, one of those nice stores. And I smelled something. It smelled good. It's in a tester. Man, I'm telling you, it smelled good. I don't really want to smell too good. I had put on aftershave. I do it all the time. I just put it on because, you know, I go places and I just lightly, hopefully lightly, put it on. And I was standing in a 7-Eleven getting a thirst buster for me and Pamela. I was waiting in line with the thirst buster. And there was a guy standing behind me. And he had on way too much mascara. Amen. Let me just put it that way. Way too much mascara. And yes, he did. He sure enough did. Amen. He was a nice looking young black man, but he had way too much mascara. Amen. He was standing behind me and we were walking forward. You know, he's standing behind me and everything's going fine. And Pamela's out in the car and I'm doing fine, although he had way too much mascara, but that's his, you know, different strokes for different folks. We're walking out to the car and I remember I got right up there and the clerk behind the counter, she said, what is that cologne you're wearing? That really smells good. And that guy behind me said, he's wearing some of that come and get me cologne. And I thought, Pamela, come and get me. Oh, yeah, I want everybody to know I'm a flaming heterosexual. Can you say amen? Yes, I'm out of the closet. Yeah. But you know, that's not the fragrance. You know, I stood at that counter. I smelled it. It smells so good. And I said, how much is this? And the lady, it was one of those, you know, when she told me how much it was for that little bit tiny bottle, I said, shoo. That didn't smell near as good after she told me how much it cost. Amen. Let me go on down the line. But there is a fragrance. Everywhere the disciples went and that early church went, they left a fragrance behind. And it wasn't their colognes. It wasn't their spices. It was the fragrance of Him. Some of Him lingered. Some of Him attracted people. Amen. The church is to leave a fragrance where we go. Amen. That the fragrance of Him, that they actually said the fragrance of Him, where, because the church was scattered through persecution, but the fragrance of Jesus went everywhere. Can you say, man, it just got scattered out. It went into every place. Praise God. And it's something that made people say, I want to find out more. I want to know more. I'm drawn, praise God, to this. Praise the Lord. Part of that fragrance is the joy of the Lord. Gladness and peace in your heart. Can you say, amen? Hallelujah. People are attracted to that. It's an amazing thing, especially when you interact with people on a job or something. If you can come in on Monday not singing the blues, not hungover from the weekend, and have some joy in your heart, and do what you do as unto the Lord and not unto men, because they'll use you and abuse you and unappreciate you, and you can get an attitude like everybody else has. Or you can do what you do as unto the Lord. And if you do, the fragrance of Him is beginning to spread. And they know you're different. Something's different. Why are you working hard while everybody else is hardly working? Why are you smiling when everybody else is frowning? Why are you happy when the happenings are bad? Why? Why? Why is that? Amen. The joy of the Lord, the Bible said, is your strength. The kingdom of God is not for self-indulgence. Your flesh will never have enough, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? When people see your peace and they sense your joy, they know that you've got a hold on something that they can't find in any kind of sin or any kind of circumstance. The world don't have it to give them. The devil is a liar and he sells his lies to hungry people looking for something that we have to offer. Hallelujah. I don't know where you're coming from today. I don't know what your walk with God is, but I know what Jesus offers you. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. Amen. Sup with him and him with me. The early church, as we closed this morning, said, truly, our fellowship, our koinonia, same word, communion, it's akin, it's all intermingled. It means intimate, personal fellowship. Our fellowship is with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. See, communion was something that was continuant. They just celebrated Holy Communion to commemorate His death on the cross and publicly proclaim it through this ordinance. But the communion, the spiritual communion, was something that was constant in their life. Truly, our koinonia, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Church is empty without that. Have you ever noticed how empty it is? The choir sings and we sing with it. We may be emotionally touched, but not spiritually strengthened, not spiritually lifted. And you can go, you can sit in church while other people seem to be getting blessings, and you can feel like you're in an isolation booth. Remember the $64,000 question? It's went up now. That's a cheap one, I guess, now. But I remember when that program was on, and they would put them in an isolation booth where they couldn't hear what anyone was saying while they talked about the questions coming, answers, whatever. You can be in church while everybody's shouting victory and be in your own personal little cubicle where you cannot sense. And if you were going through something emotional or nerve-related, I've been there, done that. I've been in those meetings where everybody was shouting, amen, but me. Everybody was sensing God, seems like, but me. And I just said, Lord, why are you blessing all of them? They're not near as bad off as me. Can you say, man, I need the blessing. Why give it to them? And they seem to be doing just fine. I'm hurting. Lord, what about me? But I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't take anything for those valleys because I knew him. The God of the mountains I knew. I didn't know much about the God of the valleys. But in that valley where he held me up, he never forsook me. He was faithful. He was merciful. He never left me. Hallelujah. In that valley, I've come to know what faith is, and it's not a force that suddenly comes as you read scripture mystically and magically. Faith is the revelation of a person that is trustworthy, that has made a commitment to us to die for us on the cross. And this man who died for us said, I'll never leave you, and I will never, and it's in the emphatic sense in the Greek, I will never, no, never. Say it with me. I will never, no, never leave you nor forsake you. I will go with you all of the way through your doubts, your fears, your tears, your mountains, your valleys. When you go through the fire, it won't kindle on you. I'm with you. When you go through the waters, they will not overflow you. I'm with you. I'm not here today because there's been no fiery trials. I'm not here today because there's been no floods and flood tides. I'm here today because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord said, I will raise up a standard against him. Oh, hallelujah. That's why I'm here today. Glory to God. If I had had army fatigues, combat boots, I would have wore them today. I would have worn them today. I would have went in there before I preached, put on my combat boots, took off my tie, put on my camouflage, my camo. I would have come out here and said, I want you to know, if you're going to win this race, if you're going to walk in victory, you've got to put on your armor. You've got to get ready to do battle. We used to sing in our church where I came and began to grow in Christ before I became a minister. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he might be a good soldier to them that call them. Amen. Though that we are in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Can you say, amen? That's victory with a capital V. Say it with me. Victory with a capital V. Amen. We're in the flesh. We all have weaknesses. Can you say amen? But God is mighty through God when we pray in the name of Jesus, when we stand upon the word of God, when we put on the armor of God. Hallelujah. I like that song that said, deep inside the armor, the warrior is a child. Can you say, man, you don't need to be strong in yourself, but strong in him. Hallelujah. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Praise God. God has just been good, and there's too many stories to tell. Too many stories to tell. 38 years of God's grace. 38 years of God's mercy. 38 years of God's provision. I don't know how God's going to get me out of the pickles I get in. I don't need to know. The Bible said God knows how to deliver the righteous. As long as he knows how, I don't have to know how. So the Bible said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And everybody say, this head of mine. Come on, and lean not to what? Your own understanding. For his ways are above your ways. Somebody say, ha ha. Come on, ha ha. He said, as far as the heavens are above the earth. Hey, that's pretty high. Can you say, man? So the next time you think you got God figured out, figure again. You'll never figure him out. Amen. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. But when he does it, he's coming to do it. He's not coming to fool with it, argue with the devil about it, look at the circumstance and scratch his head. No. Amen. The Bible said that after you were illuminated, everybody say, the day I became a Christian. Then my eyes opened up. You begin to see, amen, your lost condition, your need for a Savior. After you're illuminated, oh, life leveled out. Oh, it became wonderful. Tiptoe through the window, through the window, through the window pane, and tiptoe through the tulips with me. I've heard that kind of preaching. That's not what the Bible says. Can you say, man? You know what they tell me? They tell me when babies are born, all of them don't need to be slapped, Brother Sean. Amen. Some of them are breathing. Some of them need to be slapped to take a breath and say, but some of them are breathing. But one doctor said, we slap them anyway. Just so they have a good idea of what to expect. Welcome to the real world. You ain't in the womb no more. Can you say, man, hallelujah. Yeah, you're going to get slapped around down here. You're in a faulty body in a fallen world. We ain't home yet. Amen. We're going to get slapped around a little bit, but there's victory in Jesus. Can you say, man? I said there's victory in Jesus because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. God knows that we know how to pull them down. Amen. The devil knows that we know how to pull them down. He can't stop God. He's only got one alternative, and it's hit me and hit you. But God is still God, and he's still our glory and our shield and the lifter of our head. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, he is. So I don't know how God's going to get you out of your pickle, and I don't know when he's going. I know that he knows how. So I don't have to know how. And I don't know when. That's another giant, isn't it? After you were illuminated, Hebrews 10:32, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Oh, but many are the afflictions. Make no mistake about it. In this world you shall have tribulation, thelpsis, pressure. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God delivereth him out of them all. How many want a testimony for Jesus? Okay. You can't have it without a test. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to put on the uniform. No one wants to lay in a foxhole and be shot at. Can you say amen? Everybody wants a testimony. Nobody wants to be tested. And yet the Bible said that's the only way that you're going to get a testimony. It's not for me taking you out of all your troubles, but taking you through them, being with you, showing you the power and preciousness of his grace and mercy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So, hey, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, let's talk about the escape and we'll close. No temptation has taken you but such as common to man. But God, oh, by the way, you're not unique. You say, I don't know why this is happening to me. Well, I don't know why it's happening to me. So let's don't talk about you. Let's talk about me. In fact, let's go find somebody to listen to us talk about what we're going through. It's common to man. See, there's a message out there that says you get your faith high enough, and that's baloney. You just might as well to bring bread and lettuce and tomato. And mayonnaise when you go to that church or hear that preacher. Because it's a lot of baloney. Just make a sandwich. It's baloney. Anyway. It's baloney. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. After you're illuminated, you fought a great fight. It wasn't no little thing. It really hit you. I'm telling you, doors open up to radio. Doors open up to the World Wide Web. People come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. The devil didn't sit back and say, they're going full steam ahead. I'm not going to fight them now. No, he pulled out all the stops. Amen. We've had more problems, troubles, issues. I'm a caregiver to my dad. Right now we're in radiation treatments 5 days a week. Got an eye doctor to see. Got a urologist to see. Got a primary to see. Got to take all of these tests. I mean, it's 5 days a week to those doctors. And got other doctors on top of that. And then the personal things on top of that, because I'm the only child. And I'm all that's left. Got a church to take care of. Got family to take care of. Got all these different things. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you, my heart, my body, my mind, I just feel overwhelmed by it all. But I'm reminded of the words of King David. When my heart, not if, but when, is overwhelmed within me. And he's not talking to people. Because if you depend too much on people and they let you down, you don't have nothing to fall back on. He was talking directly to God. And we need each other, don't get me wrong. But he said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has been. He's looking back like we're doing right now. The Lord has been a refuge for me and a hiding place for my enemies. Can you say amen? God, help me to look back and rehearse those victories. Rehearse what you brought us through. Rehearse your faithfulness to me. Can you say amen? When it happens, and it will happen. After you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. He said, you saw it in me, you saw it in the brethren. What made you think you're going to escape that? Amen? It's common to Christianity. Don't think it's strange. The fiery trial that's come to try you is some strange thing has happened unto you. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. Everybody say bear. And it's not based on your ability. It's based on the grace, mercy, and strength that he grants you. So I ask myself, can I bear any more of this? And the answer is no. And when I confess that, it overwhelms me. It gets worse when I say, I can't take any more. When I say that, when that blurts out, we've all said it at some time. Come on, don't nobody say, you shouldn't say that. Well, you shouldn't either, but we did. Now, what do we do after we did? We get it back. God allows for U-turns. We can plow those words under and plant new ones. And it's not just the words, it's the attitude of the heart that's being revealed. When I said I can't, I feel completely defeated. But when I say I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, I feel it rising up again. And the devil says, aw, shucks. Not really, he curses, but I won't tell you what he said. Can you say amen? Amen. He curses because he knows if they keep trusting, God is faithful. Hallelujah. God's going to come through. God is going to lift up. Somehow, some way, he's going to make a way. Hallelujah. After you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. But you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. That means God is going to answer. God is going to deliver. It'll be his way. It'll be in his timing. But mark it down. Take this to the bank with you today. Can you say amen? If you don't quit trusting, God is not going to be proven unfaithful. He watches over his word to perform it, and he's watching over it today. Praise God. And I'm going to bring you the word that he watches over. I make that commitment to you. You come to this church, I'm going to bring you the word that he's watching over. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How many believe that we need a performance of that in our life? What a difference it would make if God kept every promise. Well, he will. But it's his way, and it's in his timing. And I don't know about you, but I'm impatient. I'm an impatient man. I want it yesterday. Can you say amen? I don't want to wait 45 minutes for my potato to bake. Amen? Do you? No, microwave come out, spoil me rotten. I'm not waiting no 45 minutes, no tater to bake. Nuke it and give it to me. I'm hungry now. Amen? We're impatient by nature. But God says, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They'll mount up. It takes time invested in this. Oh, yes, it does. The average church don't think you have the time and treat you like you don't have it. Amen. But listen. If you get a biopsy and they say they're testing it for cancer, you're going to find the time to pray that you didn't think you had. You might even find the time to worship God. Might even find time to open this book. Can you say amen and read a few scriptures on healing and help and faith? Hallelujah. You take the time. Listen to me today. Amen. It takes time to do these things. Let God move in His timing. Let patience have her perfect work. That means let God decide when you've matured, when your faith is strong enough that He can now take you out of that situation and bring you forth stronger as having gone through it. Amen. He that shall come will come. He will not tarry. God has been faithful. Psalm 37, I got to close with that because I can actually fill that bill now. I was young. Don't look at me like that, Terry. You were too at one time. Terry, look at me like you were young. He's not that far behind me. I was young. I got pictures of me when I came to the Holy Church of God to pastor. I was 27. I was young. And now, she says I'm still young, but David said I was young and now I'm old. I'll let him talk. He said there's something I've never seen in my whole life. I've never seen the righteous. Oh, by the way, it gets a little bit closer in the actual Hebrew. I've never seen the uncompromisingly righteous. This is not to play church people. This is not, I'll serve God if He does this for me right now. This is not, I'll praise God if He does something for me, but if He don't, I'm not going to praise Him. No, you're going to praise Him because of what He did at the cross. Or just keep your praises to yourself. He don't want to hear it. Don't praise Him for that car when you won't praise Him for the cross. Can you say amen? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be constant in my mouth. Glory to God. I work at it. I fail at it. I get up and do it right. Praise God, and God is faithful. I've never seen the uncompromisingly righteous forsaken, and I've never seen His seed begging bread. I don't know what the future holds, but I know my God is faithful. And I believe as our needs get more dire, more demanding, more serious, I believe we're going to see greater miracles of provision. I believe my circumstance is going to bring God into view in my life. No, I don't like trials. I don't like not knowing what's going to happen. I don't like waiting, and saying, Lord, what are you going to do here? But I like what it does because it brings God into direct focus. Amen. His name is glorified when He comes through and answers the prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. So I don't know about you. I look at people. I don't know where you're coming from. But I know you live in a fallen body. I know you live in a faulty body, in a fallen world. And I know that you're enduring something in your life right here, right now. No one goes free from persecution and pressure in this world. But I know that God promised, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I will go with you all of the way. That's my message to you today. He watches over His word to perform it. I'm going to bring that word Sunday after Sunday. If you'll come and receive it and stand on it, hallelujah, God is going to come through. How? I don't know. When? That's up to Him. But is He faithful? You bet He is. And I'm a living example of the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you stand to your feet today? We're going to rejoice in one song. And then we're going to have, I understand, a fellowship. Amen. They've been chasing chickens out there, trying to catch them and wring their neck. Dale and them, I tell you, they've been running like crazy. And God is good. Did I hand you? Which one did I hand you?